Why is dancing music important to me? It has been important even when I was since 3, 4, 5 years old. I always loved dancing. I love and loved reading also, but I love dancing. Dancing and reading. In 1983, a girl, like who was back then, I think junior high school student, got murdered in the disco. And I became to know because it was a like big scandal, criminal case, and on the newspaper, on the TV, everywhere. And because in the late 70s, disco was so popular, like in Tokyo, Japan, as popular everywhere in the world. After I researched about it, I found this paragraph that says, on the weekend, 50,000 people went to disco in Shinjuku. So it was really, you know, like big back then. Then, a few years ago, this guy in the early 80s, who also was a junior high school student, wrote a book, his memory about disco. It's called Shinjuku Disco Dancing or something. And then I realized so many junior high school students like went to disco in early 80s. Not only going to disco to dance, but also in some places, you know, they provided the alcoholic drinking also. So in 80s, like Japan, Tokyo was really like lawless, like, and I could imagine like some other things, you know, like happened over there. Anyway, what I remember personally is that few years after Huefo got legislated, basically police decided to attack disco or small clubs or dancing clubs places after the incident. I think in the history of the disco or place of dancing, dance club in the post-war era in Japan, it started like 65 or 64 or something. Is it well known or not? I don't think people know it, no. Because to look back, police decided to attack disco or dance place and also sex industry by selecting the space. How can I say? Also sex industry by selecting the size of space. It sounds really weird, but at the same time, then they can pick up space. Size and lighting, yes, lighting, yeah, exactly. Because as long as I remember, disco dancing and sex industry, I mean sex shop, were really appeared on the surface or like became open in the late 70s or in the early 80s. That's my impression, especially in the early 80s. And it's not only about sex industry, but also, if you think about the expression in porn manga, in the early 80s, Japanese underground publishing companies started publishing like porn, you know, manga a lot. I'm not a big manga reader. I stopped reading manga. I thought like I had to move on to something more like mature, I think, or like decent, like art form or something. There are political, social reasons behind as a background. In 60s and 70s, manga and every kind of like expression of art were really politically conscious. After the World War, we got surrendered and of course, Hiroshima bomb and everything. So 60s, very politically aware manga were very popular. Then early 70s also. But like Japanese Red Army, they ended up killing each other. I think in 1971. I think it's, of course, you know, like it's complicated in Germany also, it's complicated in a different way in Japan also. Because, for example, my father was born in the 1930s. He saw the very poverty in front of him. Basically, his generation, or like generation after him, developed economically Japan. They tried so hard and it worked. Of course, you were asking about the guilt. And it's complicated because we lost the war. At the same time, United States decided to, at the very well-known Tokyo trial in 1945, not to death sentence to the emperor. So emperor still was there. So then, like, who was the one? Who was the responsible? Like, who got responsibility? I think it's very complicated. In 60s, 70s, as I said, in manga or in every kind of art form, from time to time, they pick up the social issues, including enslaving Korean people. Japanese army did in the Pacific Ocean islands, like Philippines. But in 80s, it became very Bayou, I think. Because first, economically, we developed so much. Then, as I said, extreme left wing, not lost, but like, so then ideologically, or say, criticizing Japan imperialism is connected to left wing like ideology, right? But then we saw what Japanese Red Army ended up with. TV broadcasted live in the early 70s. They dug the dead bodies in front of TV or something. So then in the 80s, right-wing writers, right-wing commentators became very active again. At the same time, Japanese economy like really developed. So many reasons, I think. My expertise is music or like art, so like I don't know much. But that if you see the products back then, like Sony or like Honda or Toyota, like very well made, I have to say, all the products. I became a DJ in the very early 90s or even end of 80s. Like I belong to the same generation to DJ Crush. He's a bit elder than me. And I started playing in clubs in Nishiazabu, which is a 5 minute walk from Roppongi, and also small club in Shimokitazawa. And I play some rare 70s funk and break beats and things like that in small clubs. And one day in Shimokitazawa, before 1 or 2 a.m., suddenly all the lights were turned on in the middle of the party, and then there was a police raid. And I was taken to the Setagaya police station, police office, Setagaya Keisatsusho, and interrogated like for 2 hours or something. And the question was like, did you make people dance? And I was like, nope, nope. I didn't make people dance. They are drinking and having a conversation, but like I didn't make people dance. I play music a little bit, but not make people dance. I didn't sell my... Still, I remember this inspector just, you know, came into the room, like I was interrogated. He saw me and he was like, I know you. I saw you in the Roppongi the other night. And I was like, wow. I was a student back or something, I think. So I was like, kind of, oh my god. It was dance club. I didn't say, you know, I just play music, so they released. Then, after that raid, as long as I remember, the place became a bar. We DJ, you know, like couldn't play, you know, like we just play a very like, chill, loungy, that kind of music for months or something. So early 90s, still a little bit serious, I think. I have to say it again because the police decided to attack clubs and like sex industry, sex shops, because culturally both of them are new to them. Especially dance became very popular in the post-war period with Elvis and the Beatles. And Beatles came and did a live show in Budokan, which is Japanese very traditional, you know, venue. And it was a huge scandal. Culturally, it was, I think still, some people are really not tolerate with dancing and also like sex thing. I'm not sure if I put in this way or not. Is definitely connected, as my opinion, to mixing race, because it became very popular after the World War II. Because also dancing was, as I said, like Elvis and Beatles, rockabilly and that kind of thing. Jazz, it was brought in by GIs, United States Army, like landed after the World War II. So that's the reason why they decided to attack dancing clubs and sex industry, I think. There are laws, you know, there are rules, but then how to behave under the laws, right? Then the question is the relation between you and other people. And that is something different from Spain or like Western countries, I think. So if you ask me, Japanese are very obedient? Yeah, maybe. But at the same time, we break laws. So maybe the question itself is a little bit on the side of Western point of view. For example, instead, if you ask, how do you keep relationship with other people? Then we can say which law we protect, what I mean keep, or which law or which rules we keep or break. It is not depending on the law or rule themselves, but like the relationship with other people. I don't want to exaggerate, like there's Christianity or Buddhism, maybe not, and maybe not right, but now, for example, like we really don't care about the people. We don't care. We don't need to care. That's what I think. How we treat Korean Japanese people. Like, for example, pachinko places. In general, we can't have casinos, right? But pachinko is like, yeah, it's casino place, basically. Pachinko places are kind of exceptional because it's begun by and still owned by Korean Japanese people, and it's like open secret. So these invisible layers everywhere, and these like layers are the societies of our society. you can taste in one layer, two layers, but it doesn't mean you are tasting the whole. The whole society is more complicated. I can't say about the civil life in Japan in general, but I can talk about my personal experience as someone from Tokyo, because I never noticed that the people are not into doing demonstration. I noticed that when the big Tohoku earthquake hit in 2011, I was in Shinjuku, the earthquake hit. It took 5 or 6 hours for me to go back to my place, go back to my place in east side of Tokyo. And then, you know, my place was messed. Anyway, you know, I decided to go to bed and I woke up and I saw nuclear plant exploded on TV. And I was like, wow, you know, I'm going to, this is the end. Of course, it was not the end. But then I was really upset and I got mad about the government and everything. And especially Tokyo, you know, TEPCO, Tokyo Denryoku, like big electric company. I really wanted to, I mean, like I joined the demonstration. And around that time, I called, you know, some of my friends, let's go to the demonstration. And some friends, especially I remember this girlfriend, we are already 10 years, more than like 15 years friends. And I said to her, like, let's go to demonstration. We can't allow this kind of thing like happen again. And she said, no, I don't want to. It's creepy. It's weird. It's strange to demonstrate. And then I realized, if you are from like middle-class Tokyo family, like basically your family are very conservative. Not so many left-wing ideology are not there. Marxism in Japan has its original history. Like when you look back, there is a reasonable effort by the people in 1930s and 40s and 50s. Still, Japan was really poor. So it was plausible enough and reasonable. But it was something specific about this movement founded by the Tokyo University students in 1958. They called themselves Bunto. Was actually taken from the name of the organization in London, founded by German people, 1847. This original Bunto was disbanded in 2 years, founded in 1958 and disbanded in 1960. This Bundo or Bunto is one of the origin, if you think of the post-Second World War Marxism left-wing movement here in Japan, and student power began there. Then you could see so many different factions from mid-60s and to early 70s. And then one of the factions called Japanese Red Army hijacked the airplane and some members went to North Korea, which was supposed to be the, I think, end of the history, because, you know, the revolution was there, or is there, or will be there. So time was, is, will be frozen. So end of the history, right? Now that's another faction called United Red Army ended up in the cottage of this mountain, killed each other, and all the TV station broadcasted live. At the same time, we should remember that it happened at the height of Japanese economic development, because in 30s, 40s, and mid 50s, people supported left-wing thoughts and ideas and movements. I mean, people in general. And still, you know, I think their ideas and ideologies, view of the society, I support. But it happened at the height of the Japanese economic development. It was easy for people to take left-wing idea of obsolete or finished. For me, the problems we have in Japanese society is really about corruption of discourse or language or words. Or we don't know how to write. We don't know how to put it. We don't know what is proper way or what is proper. It's really difficult for us to write and speak in general. There are some really good Japanese pop music, and there are some really good music which have good lyrics also. But before that, for example, 10 years ago or 20 years ago, around 2000 until now, still I have this opinion that the lyrical content of Japanese pop music is really empty, and I can't relate to it at all. For me, it sounds contradicted that when I say good pop music, but pop music is about strong desire or passion. Arguably, it's in market, but I think it is a way. I can't relate to it with Japanese pop music lyrically. Korean pop music has some better lyrics, I think. At least I can relate. But I don't listen too much. I just listen to them like at the supermarket or konbini, 7-Eleven. Like K-pop, lyrically they are okay. As a music industrial standard, they have okay lyrics. Why not? Again, music is a way of communication, or music is a medium. So there must be forms of narrative, and I don't see, or I can't relate much to this way of narrative. My favorite Japanese rap punchline, I love the song called Dark Boys by Cole. There are some good lines, but I can't remember, so I can't say. Maybe I told you, but like if you think about like hit songs in 70s or early 80s, it was really interesting because in 70s, all the pop music hit songs are the relationship between heterosexual man and woman in an economic development in place. Then in 80s, this strange or weird gaze from male to young girls started to happen. And I really didn't like it because it was weird for me. So I kind of stopped listening to Japanese pop. Still, I remember that in mid-80s, there was a hit song called Seirafuku o Nugasenaide, which means, don't get me started taking off my school uniform or something. It made me pissed off or like upset because these teenage girls singing, don't get me started taking off school uniform on TV. I really didn't like it, so I kind of stopped listening to normal. I really don't like the idea that pop culture sells sex. Maybe it's my own thing. I don't know. I have this own attitude about sex. So it's something weird for me. I try to have a distance with all popular culture. So I always prefer something political. Now, of course, sex is political, but like sex here is connected to younger girls, female, and that annoys me a lot. Then I started going to clubs because I prefer liking not hit songs, but dance music. After I became to know hip hop, at the same time, I really stopped listening to usual, ordinary pop songs with lyrics about love songs, whatever. I started listening to hip hop, breakbeats, some sort of dance music. Then I started going to clubs. Then I met these fashion kids over there. The clubs I used to go were in Nishiazabu or Aoyama Ichome in Tokyo, where these areas were not that popular much. Nobody there in the evening. There are places just between these office buildings. And in the evening, you know, businessman went home, and there was no people. Then these kids flocked to small clubs. And I just started going there because I really wanted to listen to music I love with loudspeakers. I just saw some article in the magazine, and then I saw some flyers in the record shops, I think. Then, you know, I went there by myself because on the flyer they say it was discount at the early hours. I went there like 10 in the evening and stayed there 5 in the morning. Didn't use cab or like any walk there. Still, I don't have money, but like, can't believe. Before I started going to clubs, I went to some punk gigs, which were fascinating for me. Japanese hardcore punk bands, I really loved it. But musically, I was looking for something else also. Pretty extreme, like dressed with leather jacket, leather pants or jeans, with spiky hairs, with so many colors, dyed. It was wonderful. I really loved it. And sometimes they had gigs, not in clubs, but in college, all night. I was looking for something. I could dance more. And then I found this hip-hop or early breakbeats. I was fascinated with that. Then I saw the flyers, so I started going to the clubs. They play some breakbeats and hip-hop. And then, first impression or impression about clubs back then, I thought it was really democratic because people were really equal. And DJ was not the superstar. He or she just play music. Everybody enjoyed. But at the same time, I found some of the boys dressed very, very well. It meant for me that not DJs, not organizers, but the crowd themselves were kind of protagonist. I was pretty sure about it from the beginning, so I loved it. Before that, these high fashion designers emerged from Japan in Paris or Milan. For example, Comme des Garçons, Yoji Yamamoto, they made a huge impact in the international market. So these kids, much younger than these designers, they started wearing these designer clothing with American vintage clothes. And I never seen like that before. And some of them became too well known. For example, Hiroshi Fujiwara or Jun Takahashi, who founded Undercover later, or Nigo, who founded A Bathing Ape later, or Skate Thing, who was a designer, early Bathing Ape. And I became to know them because we are the kids. The number of the crowd were like 100 or 150 or 200. That's it in entire Tokyo. There are clubs we used to hang out 3, 4 or something. So tonight we went there. Tomorrow we went somewhere else. But we bumped each other randomly. Yes, we met them. I'm not saying we are super close. At one point later, some of them asked me to write something for them. It was a really conscious decision. I really wanted to do something not academic. To write about music, for me, was a way to provide my ideas. Still, we have to go and see, explore. Otherwise, we may have misconceptions. Because it's always, in some context, you can't generalize it. No? Fashion in Japan is related to the fact that we lost the war at the Second World War. GIs, armies, came here. And on purpose, they deliver, you know, like American design things and clothes. Germany, Japanese, Italian aesthetic of fascism, each is different. Yeah, each, not because surface, because thoughts is different. The fashion in Japan is related to ideologies, I think. Like when I was really young, I started going to clubs and I found those fashion kids and it was like, wow, they opened my eyes. A mission I had back then, I really want to let them know over there. Going to clubs is such a fun thing without any special clothes. So I really want to make clubs popular to the level of izakaya. Of course, I mentioned about super well-dressed kids in Tokyo many years ago. I think the meaning of fashion or dress well is different before 2000 and after 2000. Or say late 90s, the meaning of fashion is different. I really didn't like celebrity culture. I believe it became popular early 2000. Celebrity culture, or say, maybe before that, we basically capitalize the fashion a lot. Of course, fashion is always in a capitalized society. Well-dressed kids was underground because they were minority. Nobody cared about them. They just dressed they wanted, and super minority. But then, someone started capitalize their style and started sell to people. We don't have this monolith of reality, like we have, you know, overground, underground. Fashion is different, I think. It depends on where you are at. For example, like late 90s, if you went to underground jungle club, must be really wonderful. Usually, I prefer smaller clubs with reggae sound system because I used to play at the reggae club, not playing only reggae but also some other music. I really like having conversation, like to meeting like new people in clubs, so I prefer smaller clubs. In bigger clubs, of course, you can dance all night, and I could dance all night. I always prefer, you know, dancing, then a little bit pause, seeing new people, making friends. I used to live in the clubs. Of course, I was DJ, so I got in like for free. I went there, had drinks, whatever. Yeah, I used to live there, like 7 days, I think. Then I went back to my place, went to sleep, wake up, going to record shops and buy records, then going back to club or something. So I don't need to say loud, but like I was not comfortable in my own parents' place, so maybe that's the reason why. Club was more like you can see like all the friends, and friends are really cool people I ever seen. So when I talk about hip hop, actually I may not talk about any hip hop you can listen to from the radio. I talk about something imaginable because I thought and I felt it was kind of perfect combination of beats and poetry. That's my perception, I mean acceptance. Initially I met hip hop through the soundtrack of the movie called Wild Style. It was released in 1983 and it was all about some non-stop rapping about partying or whatever on the breakbeats. And I really loved that and I still love that kind of art form because maybe I didn't tell you about this, but from the beginning I felt it was really different from any music I had listened to before. I was familiar with Western classical music and also some Western pop music, but it was always like some beginnings, introduction, then really drama, then ending, right? But hip hop, especially early 80s or like mid 80s, just beats and rhyme, and it is really fascinating for me because structure was different. My DJ was not playing hip hop. My DJ was kind of awkward attempt to mix everything. Also, you like it or not? I was like really scruffy. I started going to clubs by myself because I really wanted to dance, that's it. But then, as you pointed out, some of the early hip hop are really similar, has a similar structure to techno, right? So instrumental, yeah, that's it. So I love those kind of music also. So I started collecting records. So then I really wanted to be a DJ because I listened to some of the DJs. I felt like my collection was better. So I started DJing. Some people realized like, you know music. So I kind of became a little by little who has a musical knowledge, but very kind of scruffy. The bling bling thing I think started up here late 90s and 2000, but from the beginning like hip hop, the rappers rapping about money and cars, that kind of thing. But then if you go back before hip hop, black people made songs about pimping, that kind of thing. And actually pimping was the theme or subject for them because it's antisocial. Until mid-90s or something, I saw the potential. Lyrically, rap music, like 90% of rap music were about like money, sex, and drugs, that's it. But I could see something different, and also the fashion. They try to express something in music or in style, whatever. Then I try to do something, and I really love that potential and possibility. We have to start from there. We have to start hip hop or techno or the name, right? But actually, we try to say something out of categorization or out of box. So it's intangible or like it's tangible. We can touch, but like we can. I really want to talk about something out of language, something we can't speak, especially when we talk about music. And, you know, of course, like, I talk about structure, I talk about rhythm, I talk about combination of the words and rhythm and things. But actually, I try to grasp or catch the vibe, right? If the thing is about vibe, it has to be connected to place, I mean space. So I think, as long as I know, like, dubstep never came to Japan properly. Of course, you know, they play dubstep, but it was, as you say, like, after the whole dubstep was gentrified. My old friend, now he's a still big producer. He picked up the dubstep, made a super commercial song, which was okay. I mean, it is as it is. But what's the point? It's changing. So Japanese rap or Japanese hip hop, I think I'm happy with it because basically it's space for working class kids. We as an adult, like, we should keep that kind of space for kids to express at least, like, disappointment in life in general. And that itself is very rare to Japanese music. 2 years ago, I went to this festival called Pop Years. It's all about young Japanese rappers. And I noticed that so many of them, not necessarily in songs, I mean rap songs, but also they talk about on stage their mental issues. And people, I mean the crowd, average was like 25 or something, very young. From teen to, say, the oldest one, like, except me, 30 something. So generally speaking, like, the young audience, and they are really sympathized with the rappers who talks about mental issues. Twenty years ago, Japanese rap never became popular. Very underground. Early 2000, one few groups were popular, and they talk about, of course, money and social issues, yes. But very few. Now, if you look for example, on YouTube, you hit so many young rappers from every type of it. Gangsters, like very ordinary, cute Japanese girls, working class kids, not from Tokyo, but from, you know, like deserted islands, everywhere. So I like that very much. I'm not saying like their quality, like industrial quality, I don't care. So abstract hip hop, like, basically I was there because lots of like weed, I think. Everybody was like smoking like lots of weed back then. Also, that was the age of chill out, I think. I don't know who started it, but like DJ Crush changed his style after he visited London, I think in 1992. Then like he felt the difficulty of expressing like political issues, social issues for him in English. Because from the beginning, like, he wanted to be global. He wanted to deliver his music to everybody in the world. At the same time, it was obvious that we didn't have like public enemy. Actually, we had issues, political issues, you know, or social issues back then. If you look at the, say, Yakuza movies from the 70s, like, we had issues, right? But we didn't know how to express in the music form. Because if you listen to the music form in 80s or 70s, basically it was all about relationship between heterosexual man and woman in the economically developed place. So we didn't have a like actual form. I think I'm going to dance to music when I'm like 90, anytime. Yeah, all I need is like, you know, like good DJ and a good sound system. Sometimes, you know, I even started dancing in the bar where nobody dance. These so-called clubs or whatever we have right now, they are not catching up with our reality, I think. Like, we are ahead, like, you know. The system, they kind of fail to, you know, like, they are just following us. We need a new system, you know, like, we are the front, I think. Speaking in Japanese and speaking in English are really different for me. I don't know how it sounds for you, but I really prefer like speaking English because I always try to speak to everybody. And speaking in Japanese is different because it implies so many things in a subtle ways. And sometimes it's really too much for me, always. And then what Japanese language can give to hip-hop, it's kind of giving this subtleness to beat music. Hip-hop is all about like saying it in your face, right? But Japanese language is opposite. It unveils hidden masculinity. Maybe we can reveal something opposite. Why hip-hop needs to be abstract? Why women need hip-hop? Why Asian needs rapping? In a way, like, you can say, like, when I say I prefer speaking English, I'm a little bit under the influence of like this capitalistic world or something. It's increasing, of course, like female rappers, female DJs, yeah, more and more. It doesn't matter what your gender is. If you want to express something, like just express that really good. But we need space, especially in Japan, because real estate is high. It's just like bad joke. But like space is really expensive here. That's truth in reality and it's in idea also. Japanese underground always comes with like Western influence, I think. I just started thinking about it because at the end of last year, I had a conversation with my new friend. I mean, he's a Japanese American. He came here from Boston. So the conversation made me think, I'm a really kind of fixture of Tokyo, me. My whole world is kind of sphere of this Pikachu capitalism. So then made me think, what is the underground of Tokyo? Because for me, the reality is really like this Pikachu, like Shibuya, something on acid or not, glaring, that kind of thing. Of course, some people say anti-capitalism or like that we are the real underground in Tokyo. And of course, they are real. But at the same time, it makes me think, what does it mean? The reason why a Japanese society is well organized, it's because we simplify things to make it functioning, no? We don't use I and they. We really like simplify like me. No, maybe not. When I was in Frankfurt, it was much easy I just stayed there, so I was not thinking about health insurance or like repairing kitchen, that kind of everyday things. Like I just go to supermarket and cooked and something like that, right? So then communication, for me, it was easier in some ways, no? Because direct, as you said, I spoke in English, they spoke back in English. So that's my impression. Of course, the way of communication is different, culturally different opinions and everything. But that happens everywhere.